The Parshas Emor this week, there are two pieces in the Sichos Musar. We're going to do the first one. The Pasuk says in this week's Parshim, Vayikra Chaf Aleph, Va'akohen ha-gadol me'achav, and the Kohen who is greater than his brethren, the great Kohen who is above everybody else, Esher Yutzak al-Rosh Hashem al-Mishcha, the one who is anointed with the anointing oil, Umile es yado lilbosh es begadim es rosho v'yelo yipra begadav v'yifrom, talks about how the Kohen Gadol should act and the laws about the Kohen Gadol. Now, this expression, HaKohen HaGadol Me'achav, the Kohen who is greater than his brothers, greater in what way? In what way was Aaron greater than everybody else? So the Medrash is sensitive to this expression in the Pasuk. And the Medrash says, Maksiv Achar HaInyan, what happened over here? VaKohen HaGadol Me'achav, the Kohen who is greater than his brothers. Laminikra Shmo Kohen Gadol. Why is he called the Kohen Gadol? Shu Gadol Behedvarim, he is great in five areas. Chachma, wisdom, koach, strength, banoi, osher, ushanim, all different types of things. And it gives an example. Benoi, shu no me'achav, he's very handsome. Koach, shu gibor, he's very strong. How do I know that Aaron HaKohen was physically strong, if he was a gibor? Bo re'e Aaron, look at Aaron. Now you need a bit of background here. When the Levim were appointed to their positions, they needed to be sanctified. How did they sanctify the Levim? They needed to be like a korban. A korban is waved in the Beis HaMikdash. You take the korban like we wave Luv and Esrog, and we wave it in different directions. Just like you have a korban, certain parts of the korban have to be waved by the Kohanim in different directions. So when Aaron sanctified the Levim, in order to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, he actually lifted them up. He lifted up each Levi to show that he's sanctified to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. He picked him up, every single one. How many Levim were there? Chaf Beis Elef. 22,000 Levim had to be sanctified to serve. Hanif Bayom Echad. And he did it all in one day. Okay? He lifted them all up in one day. Ketzad. How? Hayamanifim. He had to, like shaking a lulav, he had to lift up and bring forth back in this way. And therefore we know that Aaron had koach, he had strength, he was physically strong. To be able to do that is certainly something that is, you know, requires physical strength. So Rechaim Shlevitz asks what I think is the obvious question. Why? Why is that necessary to have physical strength? And why are we highlighting physical strength? We talk about all the time, it's not gashmias, it's not physical things, it's ruchnias. Why are we highlighting the physical strength of Aaron HaKohen? And this will come back to at the very end. But that's the question we want to answer. In order to answer, we need to develop an approach in what gvura means, what it means to be a gibor. The Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, Komar Hashem al yisalel chacham b'chachmaso, v'yisalel gibor b'gvuraso. The person who is very physically strong should not praise his strength. Nobody cares how much you can lift and how fast you can run. That's not interesting to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Gemara Nedarim says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mishra Shchinaso Ela Agibor. But then the Gemara says that Hashem only places his Shchina. Nevuah only rests on somebody who's a Gibor, who's physically strong. It's a strange thing to say. So what exactly is the Gevura we're talking about over here? So if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, in Parak Zayin, the Rambam says, Vein ha-nevuah chala el al-chacham gadol b'chachma, someone who's wise in wisdom, gibor b'midosav. Now the Rambam changes what the Gemara says. Gibor here means in midos, as in the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, ezu gibor ha-kovesh yitzro. So when the Gemara says gibor gvur, it doesn't mean how much you can lift and how physically strong you are. It means his gevura, his strength to overcome his yitzar hara. And then the Rambam says, "V'lo have a yitzro misgaber alav bedavar ba'olam elohu misgaber b'dayto yitzro tam." He controls his yitzar hara. That's the Rambam says. But the commentators in the Rambam are not satisfied. The Lechem Mishnah, which is a commentary on the Rambam, asks, "Yesh tema al Rabbeinu." What's with the Rambam? Lama lo hizkir gibor b'koach v'asher v'anav. Why doesn't he say like the Gemara says? The Gemara said gvura like physically strong. Why is he changing the Gemara? The Gemara said Gvura Gibor, actually a physically strong person. Why is he turning it into like a Musar Shmuz about, oh, he overcomes the Yetzer Hara, he has self-control. But Amru, it says in the Gemara, Ein Ashkina Shor Al Chacham Gibor V'Asheru Bal Koma. V'lo Hizgra B'chol Zer Rabbeinu. The Ram list leaves other things out. V'harav Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo, writes, he says that lo hitzrach kach begemara al kadesh tishra shchina bekvius avlo mashma came in divrei rabbeinu. He says the Rambam and the Maruchim seems to say differently, that it's talking about emotional strength and not physical strength. So they say, I don't know what's going on here with the Rambam. The Gemara says something else. The Rambam's changing to talk about midos, and he leaves the whole thing as a bit of a tzarachi. And what exactly is a gibor? What does true strength mean? And what is the source of strength? So we're going to put that on the side for right now, and we're going to talk about a different midah. Not gvura, but what Rechaim Shlomitz wants to argue is the opposite. And that is atzlus, and that is laziness. We're going to talk now about the midah of being lazy, and how that plays out with people, and how we recognize laziness, and how we overcome laziness, or atzlus. What does the pasuk in Mishlei say? The end of Mishlei Chaf Dalet tells the following story. Al sedeh ish atzel avarti. Shlomo Melech says, I walked by the field of a lazy man. V'al kerem adam chaser lev, and by the vineyard of a person who was chaser lev. What does that mean? Chaser means missing heart, lacking in heart. V'hine alak chulo, and around it were growing kimshonim, kisopanav charulim, weeds, all types of things. V'geder of anav neharsa, and the fence, his stone fence that was falling down. And I grabbed onto this. I saw this, and I paid attention. Ra'isi, I saw, lakachti musar, and I took a message away from it. And he explains that in atzel is someone who's chaser lev. The definition of a person who's lazy is a person who doesn't pay attention. He doesn't put his heart into something. He's not focused on what's going on around him. He doesn't sense the reality that he's in at this time. And he goes on to explain that Shlomo Melech is telling us that he saw someone who was acting in a lazy way, and he passed by, but he paid attention. Meaning, the author here, the narrator in Mishlei, is saying, this person was not paying attention, but I took Musar from it. I took a lesson from what I saw, and I saw that you have to pay attention. You have to notice things, you have to be on top of things. You can't be lazy, you can't be chas or lev. Paying attention, having thought, investigating, means taking musar. When you see something happen in front of you, you see an event, you see somebody acting inappropriately, and you say, oh wow, that's totally wrong. I need to learn from the way that person is acting improperly, and now learn the right way to act. Or you see somebody doing the right thing, and say, oh my gosh, that was an amazing chesed, such sensitivity. How did they think to say that thing? How did they know that person would need that particular chesed? You see musar, you see a lesson, and you take it for yourself. The definition of someone who is not lazy is someone who observes something going on and takes a lesson from, because they're not chaser lev. They're not lacking in heart. Their heart is focused and paying attention. And he says, Ra'aya be'enav, v'hisbonus, v'ashava el halev, seeing with your eye, thinking, taking things to heart, tzarech lahavila de likichas musar, leads to taking musar, shua kinyan benefesh yarchik ma'asmas midas atzlus. And that's the way you push aside laziness. You push aside laziness by taking the world in around you, by taking the things that you see, the experiences you come across, and you make those lessons part of who you are. That's the opposite of someone who's atzel. And he begins to develop. And he actually points out something that we've spoken about in the past. And he says that it's not enough just to recognize something. Intellect is nothing until you take it to heart. To know facts, know information, is not helpful. When you take that information that's up here in your head and you move it towards the heart and you make it part of who you are, that's the most important thing. And he says, "Vashir lo sam libo al dvar Hashem v'yazov es avadav v'mekneu besada." It says in Mitzrayim that Paro's servants did not pay attention by the makos of Barad. And Moshe told them, bring your cattle inside. Bring your stuff inside, because if you don't, what's going to happen? They're all going to die. They're going to get hit. And they didn't listen. What does the pasuk say? It says, Asher lo sam libo el dvar Hashem. The Mitzrim were people who were asher lo sam libo. They didn't pay attention. They didn't get the message. They were lazy. It didn't mean they were physically lazy in the sense that they just didn't want to go off the couch. Moshe Rabbeinu told them something. Get your stuff inside or it's all going to die. And they just didn't pay attention. That's atzlus. It's laziness of the heart, laziness of the mind. It's not want to take a message when someone's speaking to you. David HaMelech is also in this category in some sense. It says by the story of David HaMelech and Bathsheba that David made a mistake in the way he acted in getting Bathsheba and the death of Uriah Hachiti and his demise. And he Nasan HaNavi comes to give David a message, a piece of Musar. We all remember the Musar he gives him, the story about the lamb, right, and the poor man and the rich man. And he, David HaMelech says, oh, this guy's a Rasha, this guy's Chayv Misa. How could he treat a person in such a way? How could he say such things about, how could he treat this poor neighbor and steal his stuff? This is terrible. And then what does Nathan say to David? Atah Ha'ish. You're that man. You're the person that you're accusing. And this is an example of the mind not going to the heart, not connecting things. And he says, this is the person, this is an example of a person, v'lo yichsem el atzmo. He didn't take that lesson and apply it to himself. Ad she'amar lo hanavi ata ish, until you're that man. And that, says Chaim Shlevitz, is an aspect of atzlus, laziness, not taking what you see and applying it to who you are. He goes on to explain that lazy people have all the excuses why they can't. He's going to now discuss four midos of a lazy person, four things that the atzel does in their life. He says the first thing is that they say, it's beyond me, I can't, it's beyond my abilities, I can never learn like this, I can never act this way, I can never do chesed this way, I can never dress this way, there's no way I can do it, it's beyond me. That's the first excuse. Where do we see this? It says in Shmos Lamed Hei, Vayavo kol ish asher naso libo, v'chol asher nidva rucho, all the people whose hearts were carried, and their spirits were dedicated. He view as a true as Hashem brought the gift to Hashem l'malachas o amoed l'chol avodas l'videkodesh in order to work in the Mishkan and to make the clothing for the Mishkan. Right. So Ruchaim Shlevitz quotes the Ramban. The Ramban has a question. He says, "We've all seen pictures of the Mishkan. We've all read descriptions. Amazing edifice, beautiful construction of gold and wood and silver and tapestries. It's amazing. Who built that? Who are the people who had the ability to do that? Were they trained? Did they go to FIT? Were they trained in woodworking? Were they trained in metal and gold and silver? No. They were slaves for 100 years in Mitzrayim with no formal education or no background. How are they able to move from people who just lugged rocks all day and made bricks, and then literally within a year, they were able to make the most beautiful things in the world without any training? You ever think about this before? Where did this come from? So the Ramban says, "Kilo haya behem shilimen esam alachos eila mimalamed o misha imen behem." There was no artisans there. There were no experts there to do these things. Aval matza b'tivo shiyeda lasos kain. But they knew that they wanted to do it. They had a ratzon to do it. V'yigba liba b'darach Hashem. They raised up their hearts to the path of Hashem. Lavolu v'nei Moshe, to come to Moshe. Lemor lo ani aseh kol asher adonai dober. I will do whatever you need. Whatever is needed to dedicate to Hashem, I will do. I will figure it out. I will not be lazy. This is the answer to anyone who says, "But I can't. It's above me." Is anyone here any better off than Bnei Yisrael? Any less off than Bnei Yisrael? Who had no skill set whatever to build a Mishkan, and yet built the most beautiful creations ever seen by mankind? But why? They had all the excuses to say, "But I can't. It's above me. It's too much for me." In Atzel, a lazy person says, "But I can't." That's the first mita. The only way to overcome that is to say, "But maybe I can." That's number one. Number two, he says that the Atzel, the lazy person, is satisfied with the little that they have, and they're not interested in putting it in all of their efforts. They're not interested in such a thing. The Gemara in Shabbos Peches says, and that is what Rava said, to those who are right-handed in their approach to Torah and engage in its study with strength, goodwill, and sanctity, then Torah is a drug of life. It's a sam hachayim. And to those who are left-handed, no offense to lefties, but to those who are left-handed in their approach to Torah, meaning weak in their approach to Torah, then the Torah is a sam hamaves. It is a drug of death. What does that mean, the Torah is a drug of death? He explains that a person who learns Torah with all of their efforts pushes themselves and says, yesterday I learned this much. Yesterday I accomplished this much of my learning, and I set this bar. And tomorrow I'm going to do a little bit more. I'm going to push myself more. I'm going to put more effort into my learning. That's sam hachayim. That's life. That's going to make a person a happy, fulfilled individual. But a person who says, whatever, I didn't try so hard. It's not worth so much effort. I'm tired. I can't put in all my effort, meaning with their left hand, with their weaker hand, then the Torah is death for them. It's going to make them depressed. They're going to give up. They're going to think they have no connection. So lesson number two, says Reb Chaim Shlomowitz, is you got to put in all your effort without any excuses. He quotes Medrash about what we said before about the field and going back to that idea. But I want to share for you some pieces that he brings from the Mesillas Yesharim. The Mesillas Yesharim talks about this in chapter 6 and 7. Let's read what the Mesillas Yesharim says. He says, Ki ra'as ha'atzel, the evil of the lazy person, ein ba bebas achas, it does not happen at once. Ela ma'atma, it's piece by piece. Below sheyedav yergush, but he doesn't even realize or know what he's doing. Kinehum nimshach mera al ra, he goes from one bad to one bad, an shiyim tzitivav betachas, until his whole nature is ra. Hine betchila eino ela machsir ha'torach, and shahaya ra'y lo. The first thing the lazy person does is he is choser in effort. He holds back his effort. He doesn't try as hard. Umizen nimshach shal yilmod b'torah k'chol atzorach. And that will lead to not learning Torah all that's necessary. Ubnei chisar halimun, because his lack of learning, k'shiavo achar kach lilmod t'chasar lo havana, and because he didn't put all of his effort into learning, he now doesn't understand. Right? I didn't pay attention enough in the shir. I didn't pay attention enough to what I was learning. So now I don't understand it. V'nei alule haisa gomeris raso ba kvar haisa rabba. And now it's very bad because he doesn't understand anything. Achod misrabeh holachas b'mash b'soso al kopanim leshev haparsha v'aperkahu hine yigaleba panim shel kalacha. When you don't pay attention to what you're learning, so then you walk out of the shir, or you walk away from your learning thinking the wrong thing, because I had a backwards understanding. I didn't chop everything. I wasn't really focused, and therefore I walked out of class thinking, oh, I think the teacher said, you're allowed to turn the lights on Shabbos. That's all I got. Right, you're there for the first part of class, right? They said maybe you can cook this on Shabbos. Maybe you can, but then you went to the bathroom for 20 minutes, and then you came back. You forgot the answer that you can't cook that on Shabbos. Why? Because you were choser lev. You didn't put all your efforts in to the learning, and if you only walked away with a half baked understanding of the right thing to do, and that's a problem. What happens is v'yashkus ha'emes v'yachena, you've destroyed the truth and you've turned it around. V'yavra l'hatakanos v'yifatzus ha'gedarim, you'll eventually go against the halacha. V'sofa kliya b'mishpat kol paritz gedra, and then you're not going to keep other things. People are going to say, what are you talking about? I learned in school, 15 years ago that I'm allowed to do that on Shabbos. Are you sure you learned that in school 15 years ago you're allowed to do that on Shabbos? Or maybe you weren't paying attention, and now for the last 15 years you've been doing the wrong thing, and now you think, maybe I learned everything is wrong. Maybe none of Shabbos makes sense. And then the gedra, the fence, it continues to be broken and broken and broken, all because of what? Because you were choser lev. Because you didn't learn with all your efforts. And that's where it can lead. That's number two. In number three, he goes in to talk about procrastination. That's the third midah of the asel, to procrastinate. The Mesillas Yesharim writes in Perek Zayin, Ki ein sakana kisakanaso, there is no danger like the danger of procrastination. Asher hine ko rega shemischadesh, every new moment of procrastination, yuchal lischadesh eiza ikov lemaisa hatov, it's just another barrier that will get in the way of you getting to that good thing. V'amar shlom ha-melech al-vashalim, chazisi ish mahir b'melech zol lefnei melechem yasetziv, tzadikim always do the work b'mihiras, with quickness. Avram kasav bo, v'yimaher Avram ola. And Avram ran to the tent. I want to be clear for a second. The Mesillas Yesharim does not mean that you need to run to do things. That's not what he means. Or to be impetuous, or to not think about what you do. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, once you've thought through to do something, and you decided this is the right thing to do, you execute it. You do it. He doesn't mean that you do things without thinking, or you run, you know, to do something and then you knock over the person because you're so zaris to go do it. It means that I've thought through the right thing to do, and I don't let anything get in the way and say, oh, but, you know, 5 more minutes, I just want to finish this page, there's 3 more minutes to the video. We don't do that. You stop what you're doing, and you go and do it. That is the sign of Jesus. So number 3 is procrastination. The fourth thing is making cheshbonos, all types of calculations. So this is something we actually spoke about in the past. The Rashi says in Shmos Lamed Hei Chav Zayin, the Nesiim, the princes, right? It's spelled without a yud. We learned this before. The Nesiim are lacking a yud in the name. Why? Because they had all the excuses in the world not to dedicate to the Mishkan. And then what ended up happening, there was nothing left to dedicate, right? They missed out. And as a punishment, the Torah removes a yud from their name to show that they were lacking. This is a Rashi over here. The Chovas HaLevavos writes in his introduction that he said, has the Masa Torah, writing the Chovas HaLevavos is a lot of work. It's a lot of work to write, you know, one of the most important Sfarim in the history of Jewish people. It takes hours and it takes years and days. It's a lot of time. He says, I have all the reasons and all the excuses to say, you know, I have a lot of things going on over here, and I have family to take care of, and there's a lot of projects I'm working on, I'm busy with my community. All the excuses. Rabbeinu Bach Ibn Pakud would have been perfectly justified to say, before a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry, I didn't have time to write the Chovas HaLevavos, I had a lot going on. But he said, it's just excuses. If you have the idea to do something good, and you know this would be beneficial for yourself and other people, stop with the cheshbonos. Stop with the calculations and back and forth. Yes, maybe this and no. Just go and do it. That is mimakor asluso heim novim. All of those cheshbonos, all those calculations, they flow from the mid of aslus, of laziness, of not getting up and taking care of it. Misil Shisharim says again about this. He writes in Perek Vav, V'ulam im tishal espia atzel. If you will ask the lazy person, Yavo lecha b'ma'amarim rabim b'marei chachamim. He says the problem with the lazy person is they'll have all types of statements from a Gemara or a Medrash or a Rashi to defend why their calculations are correct. Mikros min aksuvim, v'tanos min aseichel, type of logic. Asher kulam yoru lo, and they'll fire everything at you. Lefidato mishubeshes, because of his crooked way of thinking. La kelalav lanicha b'menuchas atzluso, so you should leave him alone, so he can remain lazy. V'einenu roesh ein hata'anos ha'hem hata'amim ha'hem noldim lo mipnei shikol dato. He doesn't understand it all comes from his crooked view of the world. Elim yimakor atzluso ha'hem noldim, they come from the place of laziness. Asher b'yosi he goveres bo, and it's overcoming him. And they don't make any sense. This is what Shlomo Melch cries about in Mishlei as well. And this is something we probably come across with our friends. You know that your friend would be better off if they made up with this person and they made shalom with this argument. And you know they'd be better off, you know, coming to the shir. And you know they'd be better off, you know, davening, whatever it is. And they sit there and say, no, you don't understand. If I make up with this person, you see, they're just going to do it again, and then, you know, they're going to take advantage of me, and they have to understand that it was wrong, and all types of cheshbonos. They should just stop making cheshbonos, make shalom, and move on with themselves. But they have all types of calculations why they have to do this thing. That all comes to the midah of atzlus, laziness of not wanting to execute and not wanting to do. So then, to come towards his point over here, he quotes the Dvarim Rabba, the last source on our source sheet. The Dvarim Rabba says, Zesh Amar HaKasav, Leich al Nimala Atzel Re'ei Derachaha, V'chacham Asher Ein Lakatzin Shoter Moshel Tachin B'kayetz Lachma Igri B'katzer Machala. So the Pasuk in Mishlei says, go look at the ant. Go look at the ant and how it lives its life. And there's a lot of chachma to go and take from this ant. Ma'ra Shlomo Shalama Eitz Lamin Amela. What did Shlomo see, asked the Medrash, that we should go and learn from the ant? Rabbanan Amri, the rabbis taught, Ein Echai Elashisha Chadashim. The ant does not live for a long time. 6 months, a year. The ant does not live a very long life compared to human beings. V'chol Ma'achala Ein Ela Chita Mechetza. And do you know how much an ant eats in its lifetime, in its totality? 1.5 grains of wheat. That's what the ant eats. Meaning a very small amount for a very small life, right? Not so much food and not such a long time. V'holachas u'machneses bekaitz. But in the kites, it goes out. And it finds wheat and barley and grains and all types of things to bring back. And why does it do this? She'amra, it brings back huge amounts of food. Why? Because it says, Shema yigzor alaya kadosh baruch hu chayim v'yali mucha nachal. Says the ant, maybe a kadosh baruch will give me a longer life, and I'll live more than the life of the average ant, and I'm going to need more food. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, says Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Ma'isa hayo umatso bebor shalosh shalosh me'os kur. I once found an ant's home, so to speak, where the ants were building their nests. I found 300 kur of wheat. It's a huge amount of wheat. Again, it's an exaggeration, but meaning a lot of food. Ma'ashim mechneses min ha'kayitz l'charif, all that he gathered from kayitz and l'charif, from summer for the winter. Lefichach Amar Shlomo, and therefore Shlomo says, Leich el nimala atzel, re'ei derachei chacham, lazy person, go to the ant and go learn from it. Af atem heskinu lachem mitzvos min ha'olam hazeh olam haba. You also need to prepare mitzvos in this world for the next world. You also need to be working and gathering and producing and putting your effort in this world for the next world. And says Rechaim Shmulevitz, a person should have she'ifos. A person should have desires for great things. Every single person here must paint for themselves an image of what they could be. Everyone should have she'ifos, to push for greater things. And that's the lesson from the ant. The ant has crazy dreams, way, way out there. The otzel, the lazy person, has no dreams, has no she'ifos, has no desire for anything more, to accomplish more, to learn more, to grow more, to be more refined, to be a better person. There's no she'ifos. The ant has what to teach us in that respect. You also have to work like the ant. And if you don't, and if you won't, again, the ant is like a suffix of a miracle that it's going to live that long. That's what Shlomo Melech is telling us. If you don't have big dreams of what you could be and what you can become, then you are in atzel. You are lazy, says Shlomo HaMelech. Every single person, whether you are 17 or 73, it doesn't matter, needs to have dreams and aspirations of what they can become, even though it seems way, way beyond where they are right now. And he says that the Tana de Be Eliyahu writes that a person has to say, Masa yagiu maise lemaise avosa Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. When am I going to be like Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? When are you going to be like Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? Probably never. But the answer is that you need to have shifas, you need to have desires to want to be like them and want to accomplish. Ubederech hatevi yevshar legil yidekach. Naturally, you will never be Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It doesn't make any sense. Mikol makom chayv hu l'shof la'asos es kolim mitzayim l'shem kach. But you need to want to be like Avram, you need to want to be like Yitzchak, and you need to want to be like Yaakov. To not want to do that is to be an atzel. Yeah?
I feel like the ants are like the opposite of like other people's students.
Why?
Like, they just went to their graves.
Yeah.
Right? And then, so like, they were like accepting like their early death, and like, they weren't like, trying to fight for like the ends of the opposite.
Okay, good, I hear. So good, let's take that, and let's tie that in to our answer. Are we ready?
Yeah.
He says, what is a gibor? What's a gibor? He says, a gibor means, hakavana shenilcham b'chol kocho, u'b'chol memtsai nafsho im yitro. It's a person who fights with every single thing they have to overcome the Yetzer Hara. U'b'zchuzos ha-kadosh baruch hu'ozu v'yachal bo. And in the zechus of you putting in all your effort and fighting tooth and nail to overcome the Yetzer Hara, to grow, to be better, to accomplish, to bring light to people, to inspire yourself and others around you, even though it seems impossible, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the kochos and he'll push you along. A gibor means someone, the opposite of the atzel. The atzel says, I have no desires for anything, I'm fine though I am, don't push me, I'm fine here laying in bed, relaxing, scrolling through my phone. The gibor says, no, I have what to do, I have what to offer, I have a lot to accomplish, I have hopes and dreams. That is the definition of a gibor. And therefore he says, the koach of Aaron was that he strove for the impossible. That was the gvur of Aaron HaKohen. He did and wanted to accomplish the impossible. He tried and focused more than anybody else. He said, I'm supposed to lift 22,000 people up today. And he tried and he did it. He tried. He tried for something that was way, way beyond the physical capabilities he thought he was given by Hashem, and he did it anyway. That's the gevura that he had. And therefore, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, B'chol ma'asei adam ein hu ha-po'el es ha-gemar v'ha-tachlis shel ma'asim en ha-asim al yado. The purpose of everything is not your action, so to speak. Ela adam osa es shelo, you do what you have to do, es ha-masa, u'min ha-shamayim m'sayin she'elo b'yado k'rtzon Hashem, will help you do the rest. Gvuraso shel Aaron, v'kocho ha-gadol mikol adam. The gevura of Aaron HaKohen and his koach was shebekoch l'sameitav l'rakesus kol yicholoso. He put all of his focus and he gathered all of his efforts together umeratzo yesro kol adam more than anybody else. And that was the gevura of Aaron HaKohen. We find it as well by Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayaka Moshe samishkan. That Moshe put up the Mishkan all by himself. That's remarkable. The Mishkan was heavy beams, a lot to do, and Moshe did it all by himself because he put all of his efforts in and the Kadosh Baruch Hu helped him. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz now comes to a conclusion and he says, what comes out from our words is that Gevura is trying your absolute best in Gashmias or Ruchnias. That's what it is. To be a Gibor means you're going to push yourself way beyond what you think you can do. That's the Midah of Gevura. And like he said before, anything that's not that is Aslus. It's an extreme. There's only extremes in this conversation. Either you're a gibor or you're an atzel, but you can't be in between. Either you have to be pushing yourself with all your might, or you're telling yourself, I just can't, it's too much for me. We want to be on the side of gevura, in which we're pushing ourselves beyond what we think that we're capable of doing. And he goes on to develop the idea that leadership, nevuah, means giving all that you can. That's why a navi has to be a gibor. Because a Navi and a leader of the Jewish people, a leader amongst peers, a leader of a family, a leader of a community, needs to be a person who says, I believe we can do it. I believe we can do more. I believe that we can accomplish more, we can bring more, and we can inspire more people. Isn't that what a Navi is? A Navi is a leader. So of course the Navi has to be someone who has Gevura, because he's not going to be a leader without that spark. It's the opposite of atzlus, the davada echasi, but it's two sides of the same coin. And therefore, zrizus and gvura give a person life. He says, just like atzlus leads to destruction, the person has zrizus, gvura, that gives a person's life, ruach hakodesh nevuah, and can make all the difference. Okay, so that's Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says here in this sikha.